going to be in Matthew chapter 18 tonight. And this is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. Over the years, I've pointed people to this passage in Scripture I don't know how many times. And it'll help you if you listen to it and get the message from it. It has to do with forgiveness. And nothing will affect your relationship with God or with anyone else in an unforgiving spirit. God expects you to forgive. God forgave you so much. And if you want to be God-like, then you should learn. You need to learn this thing of forgiveness. I had a situation one time many years ago in the church where a couple of the church members were at outs with each other, and one of them was involved in one of the ministries, and he said he couldn't forgive. And I said, then you can't be involved with this ministry if you have an unforgiving spirit. And that's stubbornness, and it's rebellion if you can't forgive. Matthew 18 and 21, the Bible says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very, very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Wow. That's quite a lesson there to be learned. And I've dealt with it, I guess, for many years as a policeman. You'd run into domestic problems or people with families in turmoil. Just could not forgive. And that will eat away at your life. It'll affect your ministry. It'll affect your relationship. It'll affect everything you do if you have an unforgiving spirit. I would like to think that I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just really not. I don't have anything against anybody. There's no one that has to come to me and ask and make things right, because God has done so much for me. I've got an understanding, and this story tells what that is, that God forgave me so much. How dare that I hold on to something that someone did to me? How could I dare do that? We've got to learn to forgive, to get over it and get beyond it. Give it to God. Pride and arrogance. The Bible said only by pride cometh contention. And that's where we land a lot of times. We become contentious over our pride. And we refuse to forgive someone who in our hearts feel like they've done something wrong. They've wronged us in some way. Proverbs 26:12 says, "See thou a man wise in his own conceit, there's more hope of a fool than of him." If you think that you're going to always be right, get over it. And the people are always going to be right toward you, you need to get over it. You look at some of the greatest men for God in history, they did a lot of stupid stuff. And yet when you get over there in Hebrews chapter 11, not once are those past sins brought up of the things that they had done. It just says, by faith, by faith, by faith. Matthew 11, 25, "And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." Then in Mark 11, 26, it says, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." Now, don't get me wrong. I know that we're forgiven by the blood of Christ. This is a pre-crucifixion passage to the disciples. And that's a Jew under the law, but the Lord said it for a person, for a purpose. And we need to learn to have a forgiving heart, no matter what it is. Get over it. God, through His amazing grace and mercy, has saved you and forgiven you every sin you ever committed. And you hold on to some sin, God don't approve of that. As a Christian, we know that we're forgiven by the blood of Christ. I know that. Now, when it comes to unconfessed sin, the Bible teaches that we open ourselves up to chastisement when we have a sin that isn't confessed. I understand that, even though we're secure in Christ. But we look at Scripture, we see over and over again that because Christ has forgiven you so much, He expects you to forgive others. Is that asking too much? That story's kind of summed it up. He told the disciples in Luke 6, 37, He said, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." Mark 6, 12, "And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors." You find someone with an unforgiving heart, you're going to find somebody that's going to stay miserable about all the time. When you've got something, when you're on the outs with somebody, you know who it affects the most? It affects you. They may not know it, or may not care one way or another. But you torment yourself by that unforgiving spirit that limits God on His blessings in your life. You've limited Him because of your hardness. And I know these passages were pre-crucifixion passages written to the nation of Israel. And I know that after the cross we have an advocate with the Father that intercedes for us. And we're forgiven because of the blood. I understand that. But the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's a good instruction in righteousness, that we forgive others. Forgive as we have been forgiven. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, said this in 2 Corinthians 2:10. He said, "To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also." Now he's talking to the church here. "For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." My. Paul is saying here that if you refuse to forgive somebody, you'd better look out, because you've just given the devil an advantage that probably he'd been looking for. "Well, I've got him now. That fellow that was so close to God, well, when it comes to forgiveness, he missed the boat. I've got him now. He's in my corner now." Paul said, lest Satan should get the advantage of us. For we're not ignorant of his devices. It all has to do with not being able to forgive. Now, to understand forgiveness, we should understand what it isn't. Forgiveness isn't saying that it's okay what someone did. It's not excusing. Jesus Christ did not excuse our sin. He gave us a pardon based on his payment. He didn't excuse it. He told the Father, if there's any way that this cup could pass from me. He didn't excuse sin. Forgiving is not excusing someone. It's a pardon. Forgiveness reaches out despite the hurt and the harm that maybe someone has done to you. You're reaching out. Why? Because Christ reached out to you. Christ saved you. He forgave you. So he expects you to forgive others. Forgiveness means to forgive the inexcusable. Why? Because God has forgiven us the inexcusable. My, my, my. It's not acting as if something is a minor importance. It's really not that big a deal. If we keep acting as if something's minor, when it really hurts us and tears at our heart, then it makes it only more difficult to forgive someone. We learn to pardon. We learn to forgive. And that's a great step toward a sweet relationship with the Holy Spirit, with your Lord. Forgiving is not trusting. You may forgive someone, have to forgive someone several times for doing something, and they'll go ahead and do it again. So what do? You forgive them. 7 times, Lord? No, he said 70 times 7. You just keep on forgiving them. Don't mean you trust them. It's not trusting. Don't mean that you're going to go whitewater rafting with them next weekend. Forgiving and forgetting. Well, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Shame on you. Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I thought we were supposed to be Christ-like. Oh, I can't forget it. God, by choice, has chosen not to remember our sins. Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Isaiah 38:17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, for thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. That's God, who is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. And he throws his sins behind his back. Where's that? It means they're gone. They're history. Hebrews chapter 11. I brought that up earlier. Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Moses, Rahab, David. You remember some of the things? Noah ended up drunk and in a cave. Abraham lied like a dog about Sarah. Isaac, all the conniving he did for the birthright. Moses killed a man. Look both ways. Make sure nobody saw him. David, you know what David did? Committed adultery, had Bathsheba's husband killed, had him set up on the battlefield. And yet not one time are those sins ever brought up on this side of the cross. Forgiveness is to pardon the inexcusable. God didn't excuse our sin. Whenever we try to step out in defiance of God, and when we assert our independence from God and what God teaches how we should live and what we should do and what we shouldn't do, when we step out apart from that and say, I've got a better plan, or I've got a better idea, or I'm right about this, whenever at any time you develop a little controversy with God, guess who's going to win out? I believe every preacher who has fallen, everyone who has lost their fellowship with God, it's always started because they've had a little controversy with God. They have a little disagreement with God. Going about to establish your own righteousness, when God says we need to submit ourselves to His righteousness. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. When God tells you something, you better believe it. Don't think, well, I don't think He really meant what He said there. Yeah, sure He did. All the words of God are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Whenever we set ourselves apart from God and we develop a controversy from God, then that's inexcusable. God will forgive you because it is sin. All unrighteousness, the Bible says, is sin. But knowing that if God, our sin is inexcusable, the sins of the world were inexcusable. God had to make payment Himself. There's no way within His holiness, His holy character, that He could excuse. He couldn't excuse Adam and Eve. He had to withdraw His spirit from Adam and Eve because of their sin. It was inexcusable. If He could have found some way to excuse us, Some way to maybe to mitigate our sin, some extenuating circumstance that He could, to justify us. If He could have done that, He would have never sent His precious, darling Son, Jesus Christ, to pay our sin debt for us. My. To suffer that cruelty and the humiliation of the cross. The only rebuttal to sin, the only rebuttal to sin is the unselfish deed of the one offended, the one sinned against. The only rebuttal. If someone has done you wrong, the only rebuttal that you have to that is to say, I forgive you. I didn't say it didn't hurt me. I didn't say I'm going to trust you from here on out. But I'm going to forgive you. I choose to forgive you because Jesus Christ forgave me. It's a choice that we make. And when we refuse to forgive, that is also a choice. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Hey, the Lord didn't deny the pain. He didn't deny how it hurt him. He didn't ever said that it was easy. It's not easy forgiving someone. It wasn't easy for the Lord to forgive us and do what he did for us. Father, if there's any way. Nevertheless, not mine, but thine will be done. Not my will, but thine be done. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in our direction, available to us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. He didn't have to do that, did he? He chose to do that. He said, no man taketh it from me. Say, I lay it down willingly. It was a choice Jesus Christ made. John 10:17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You have power to forgive, or you have power to not forgive. Hold that grudge. Just let it eat on you and destroy any relationship that you thought you had with God. Jesus didn't have to die. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Somebody had to pay. I chose to have his death pay for my sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. He didn't commit any sin. He didn't have to die. He said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. He cried, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? A lot of different spins and takes on that particular passage. One of my takes on it is God allowed him to make that decision as a man. He suffered as a man. He had to suffer death as a man to pay those wages of mankind. Christ chose to die for your sins, and his Father, I don't think his Father made him do it. So, who are we? Who are you, or who am I that we would refuse to forgive someone after all that we've been forgiven? Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Boy, that's a mouthful right there. I'll read that again. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgiveness is a choice. It's a choice that we exercise by faith. A decision that we make to not hold a sin against a person any longer. It's a choice. And we learn that from the cross. Where's that verse at? Is it 2 Peter 2:20? It says, I'm not sure if that's the right address. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it You take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. God says somebody does you wrong, and you learn to take it patiently. That's what I'm about. That verse reveals the very character of God. There's no glory in you holding a grudge and refusing to make it right in your own heart. But we learn from the cross that very decision to resist the devil, to resist the flesh, will allow the power of God and the grace of God to restore our peace. God wants to restore your peace, and it begins with forgiving. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Our Lord said when he cried out to God, "Even so, Father, not mine but thy will be done." It's God's will that we forgive one another. It's pretty plain. I mean, it's nothing that is equivocal. It's right there. In law, they call it a bright line rule. Romans 12:21. The Lord said, "Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." In our text here in verse 32, "Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said to him, O thou wicked servant." That's a fellow who, after he had been forgiven all that debt, the fellow just owed him a little bit, and he demanded all of it. "Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said to him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him." Maybe you've got an unforgiving spirit today that you need to get right with God. And it may be keeping God from blessing you, from doing with you what he wants to do. But you won't let him because you refuse to forgive. And if that's true, Paul said that there's a good chance Satan might have the advantage of you because of that. Maybe you've been on the outs with someone for some reason. Maybe a long time. You just can't quite bring yourself to go to that person and tell him that you've forgiven him. Maybe just go and say, "Brother, if I've wronged you, please forgive me. I'm capable of wronging someone." I remember a fellow that I was real rude to one time as a policeman. I was having a bad day, and I was real rude to this fellow. And I got called to a home to do a funeral in the family that this fellow lived. And I remember reading the verse, and I prayed about this because I knew I'd wronged the man. I knew it was not who I was and the way I'd treated him. And I worded, got back to me that he'd never heard, nobody had ever talked to him that way in their life. And I felt like a dog. I went to God, asked God to forgive me. And I remember reading a verse, I forget where it's at. Some of you may know where it said that God will even make your enemies to be at peace with you. But I walked in that house and sitting around that kitchen table as I was getting ready to do the funeral for this lady, said that man that I'd wronged. The first thing as I did, I walked over to him. I said, "I was rude and I was wrong and I was mean to you, and I want you to forgive me." And that fella looked me in the eye and said, "I was the one that was wrong." Said, "Not you." I just praise God. See, he'd made that man to be at peace with me. And a lot of times that begins with forgiveness. Forgiveness. You want peace, you want joy. You want that fellowship restored with God that maybe has gone south a little bit. Colossians 3:12 says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." We talked about that Sunday. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Pretty clear. Our Lord, as he hung there on the cross, he endured all the wrongs and all the sin that any human being had ever committed and that would ever commit. All those wrongs he had on his back, the burden, the weight of the world on him, suffering for all the wrong that I would ever do. And he did it because he loved me. He did it for me. And he did it for you. 1 Peter 2:23. "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." When someone wrongs us, we need to just give it to God. The Lord says, I will repay, saith the Lord. I will recompense. We give it to God. Say, "God, I forgive him. You've forgiven me so much, Lord. How can I not forgive him or her?" Luke 23:34, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them." That's the crowd that had crucified, put him on the cross, and he looks down and says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. I'm done. An important issue tonight. This thing about forgiveness, it'll keep you from being who God wants you to be. It'll affect every area of your life if you have an unforgiving spirit. But when you start getting that tender heart toward people and you start forgiving, look out, that same measure with which you forgive will be given back to you in God's grace and his mercy toward you and his goodness toward you. And he'll make you fall in love with him the way he'll bless you. Don't be that person who refuses to forgive another person. And you forgive it in the name of Christ. "I forgive you because of Jesus Christ, who forgave me so much. I've made a choice to forgive you for Christ's sake." Everyone stand up tonight as we sing.